Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about food, but we're going to be talking about it with a lady that's around the globe. We're talking with Annette Sim today. She's in Australia. But this woman's story is well worth hearing. She has dealt with the Battle of the Bulge. We're in the middle of the holiday season here. Holy Moses, we can use all the help we can get from a woman who overcame a tremendous amount of challenge. Annette, welcome to our world of radio.
G'day, how are you?
I am magnificent. Now, what time is it in Australia right now?
It's Tuesday morning, about 9 a.m.
Well,
so we're ahead of you guys.
Yes, you are. Annette.
And it's a beautiful day. It's probably going to be about 30 degrees here in Queensland, Australia, because we're in summer. So that's probably like about, I don't know what that is in your language. It's hot. That's all I can say. And I'm sure that's not what you're feeling unless you've got your, your heating cranked up.
Our heating is definitely cranked up here in the Pacific Northwest. That's where I'm broadcasting from. Of course, we have listeners around the world, so they may at all be in different temps. But for us, it's getting rather frigid. We've been down in single digits just recently. Annette, your story, I think, is so significant because, one, your book, which I want my listeners to know about, is called Simply Too Good to Be True, and it's the American version that I have in front of me. You have sold over 2.5 million books. Not a lot of people who write books about weight or diet can say this, but you put this book together from your heart because you have walked a walk of experience in your life that I know so many of my listeners can relate to. Can you please share your story and what your big challenges have been and at the different times in your life? Share it with us, please.
I'd love to, because I feel like if I can do it, anyone can. So I'm hoping I give lots of people some hope out there that maybe are struggling with their weight or have been for too long. And 2010 is the year to make those changes, I think. So if I reflect back over the years, I always had a weight problem. You know, even as a kid, I was the fattest kid in my class. And when I went to high school, my nickname was Porky. So I was real happy about that one. And, you know, kids can be very cruel, but I was always sort of the happy kid laughing on the outside but crying on the inside. And just, you know, when you see teenagers, you think, oh, they just want to be like everybody else. They want to be like their friends, and they want to wear the fashionable clothes and do all that sort of stuff. And it's really embarrassing when you're a kid and you run and everything just blobs along with you. It's not what you want as a 13-year-old, for example. Mm-hmm. So I really did battle with my weight as a kid. When I got married, I found the most wonderful man who's still been married to me all these years. We've been married 35 years, and he says he's been married to many different women. You know, some thin, some fat, some menopausal, and some pregnant, whatever. Anyway, that's part of being married, I suppose. But, you know, I remember when I got married, Donna, I had to get my wedding dress made for me because there was nothing in the stores that would fit me. You know, this is going back quite a while ago when they didn't really cater for the larger size. And so I had to have my wedding dress made. It cost me a fortune and never really felt the blushing bride in it, I've got to tell you. Although it was pretty, it wasn't what I would have had I been slim. You know, and over the years, you know, I battled with my weight, and that's the word battle. It really was like that. And I eventually hit the scales at 220 pounds. And I had a photo taken of me at the beach because, you know, we live near the beach here in Queensland. And I remember my friend sent it to me after she'd got back from her holidays. She'd been up to visit. And I don't know about you, Donna, but have you ever seen a photo that you just thought, oh, my gosh, can that really be me?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I felt that. You know, I really felt quite devastated. And people say to me, well, you know, didn't you look in the mirror? You know, you could have seen what it was. But, you know, when you're really big, you tend to not ponder at the mirror too long. You know what I mean? You
just say,
yes, good to go, and out you go for the day. But that photo of me in my swimsuit at 220 pounds, and I actually have it on the back of my book, you know, because I want people to see the reality of it, mm-hmm. is what changed my life. It was my aha moment.
Well, I just think that what you have done and the way your attitude changed, it was important. Now, you did go through a period, and I think in the modern world, I mean, we're bombarded here in the United States with ads about, oh, get skinny in 30 days, and you do this, you do that, you do the other, you take this pill, you take that pill. And I know a member of my family that was taking Fen-Phen and ended up having a valve to their heart go bad because they were really taking so much of it. They did lose weight, but they were like so many people do. If a little bit's going to be okay, gee, then we need to take more because more will make it easier. But she paid a very hefty price with her health, and she just had to go through, I think, a third or a fourth surgery relative to that valve. And now has to have a pacemaker. So people are so concerned about this, and they're looking for a real, real easy fix. Now, you have in your book some wonderful statements about the various levels that you went through and how you made a determination you were going to give up the diet pills. You were going to say, enough of this stuff. I've got to do some changes. How did you come to that point where you just accepted the personal responsibility for your own wellness and for being slender?
Well, I think it was because I had been the diet queen. You know, prior to that day when I sat down and cried over that photo and had the poor, that little pity dance for myself, you know, I had really tried all the diets under the sun. And, you know, when I think about it, the dieting, I think, was making me fat because I'd go on a diet, I'd lose a bit, I'd go off it, and then I'd gain all that back plus more. I'm sure anyone that's been on a diet's going, yes, you're right. You know, it's just masochistic. And when you say the word diet, the first three letters are die, and this is what it leads to. Not only do you feel like you're dying because, you know, you just can't eat anything apart from grillfish and salad, and, I mean, I love grillfish and salad, but it's boring. Mm-hmm. And it also can be, you know, sort of, you know, make your life less good quality, you know, so you may not live on the earth as long as you want. So I decided that dieting had to go, and this was the simple decision. I mean, people say it must have been such a big thing. I was like, no, actually, it was the simplest decision I ever made because I went, I just want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And when you say the word healthy, what does that mean, I think? Well, I look at it the first four letters, and it's heal.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is what exactly I did and what I teach other people to do, is to just take each day and be in your magnificence each day. You know, like work, what can I do today to be the best I can be? And that's how you naturally will take that responsibility because you are driving this. You are the person that's saying each day, you know, well, will I eat this chocolate cookie or... is that really what a healthy person would do? Because you know you're not going to eat one. You're going to eat probably five. And that's what you start owning, is the whole thing about saying to yourself, I am a healthy person, and think and act like one. And that's how I changed my life. And not only did I lose over 70 pounds in about 20 months, but I've been there in my healthy weight range ever since, which is, you know, some 17 years ago.
Well, I think that that is significant because frequently when people will lose a great deal of weight, the odds of them going back, you know, when they've been on especially rigid programs, you can't do this, you can't do that. I can relate stories of clients that I've had through the years that by the time they got out of that cycle, they're feeling great, they're down, whether they're male or female, they're feeling wonderful about themselves. And then as soon as they get back into the real world, then, boom, they start putting the weight on, and it comes on so fast. It's incredible. It's almost as if their body has been in a starvation mode, and it says, I've been denied, and then they'll put stuff in their mouth, and they literally have a reaction, a compulsion that develops. So for you to have stayed trim for 17 years and have enjoyed the process and not felt like you were denying yourself anything, that is a tremendous accomplishment. Your book is so well done. One, it's colorful. The title, Simply Too Good to Be True, the picture of you on the front is just delightful. You're a lovely woman. But you've also included in this book tasty recipes that you yourself have found enabled you to enjoy delicious food. You could feed it to your family. And at the same time, you were trimming down. And you also talk about portion control. Let's go into the portion control bit a little bit. How did you manage to deal with that?
I'm so glad you asked that question because it's so profound for success with weight loss, because so many times we look at, you know, what we eat, you know, which is everyone knows, well, I've got to eat less fatty food, and we know that. But, you know, you can overeat the good stuff too. And I remember a lady that I was counseling once had lost maybe 200 pounds. Like, I mean,
wow.
This was huge. She had lost, like, several people. And she was trying to maintain her weight. And she had a real bad time. She was really struggling, and she was putting on, you know, a pound a week. And she said, what am I doing wrong? And I said, look, let's sit down and really go over everything. Because, you know, when she's telling me, she's saying I'm doing everything right. Eventually, we found out through the conversation that she was eating 2 pounds of grapes a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And 3 bananas. And 3 apples. And she was thinking, well, hey, this is okay, it's fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we cut it right back down, she balanced well, and she's been in her goal weight ever since. And it was just a little thing that really was quite significant. But just even eating too much fruit, because there's calories in fruit, there's carbs in fruit, it's good for you. But you really only should have maybe 2 or 3 pieces a day when you're losing weight. And if you're maintaining weight, you wouldn't want more than 5. So this is where she just was going way over, but innocently, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with your portion control, you've got to look at how much you eat, because if you are overweight, I guarantee you are eating more than you should. I mean, you know, you're probably making some bad food choices as well, and you're probably not being as active as you could be. So these are the keys to fine-tuning everything so you can, you know, really bang that weight off and say goodbye to it forever. With portion control, I remember the first meal that I ever did on my sort of healthy lifestyle was chicken, and I remember looking at it thinking, okay, I need to have 4 ounces of cooked chicken, and I weighed it, put it on my plate, and I got really upset because I could hardly see that chicken on my plate. I mean, it was so small, and I was like, you know, just really pissed, if that's the best way I can describe it, saying, this is ridiculous, I'm going to starve, how can this be possible, this can't be, and then a little voice inside of me said, well, that's why you're fat, because what you've got on your plate is normal. And I went, oh, I get it. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to change that mentality of being overweight. And so that's what I had to battle with, and we all do, is that self-talk. And so when you look at it and you go, okay, this is what a healthy person eats, this is how much you should have to lose weight, then you've just got to own it, and that's it.
You have a picture of a woman, Beattie Sterling, that is, she lost 6 dress sizes, and she said, where she had been taking blood pressure tablets for 13 years, now she doesn't have to, her diabetes is under control. She looks absolutely gorgeous, and the same with Gail Alford. She has just trimmed, I mean, she looks 20 years younger.
Oh, they're hot, aren't they? And these women, oh, I get so proud and goosebumpy when I just think about the success stories that I've had here in Australia, and I'm getting them now in the US, which is awesome. Because what it is, Donna, is people that love to eat need to be able to still love food. You know what I mean? Even
yes.
When they're trying to be healthy. And that's the key. I love to eat. You know, I'm proud to say it, but when I was fat, I would never say that. I would be too embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy eating. And so what I do now, and what I did to lose the weight, and I teach everybody, is you can still have the food you love, but you've just got to do it the healthy way and make sure it's in the portion size that you need it to be. And, I mean, I'm a big eater. I mean, I really still love to have a big dinner plate of a night. Instead of filling it with, you know, fries and steak, I'll now, if you look at it, if I could describe to you what a perfect portion plate should look like, if you cut a plate down the middle on one half of it, that should be filled with vegetables and salad. And this is where I feel in America you're going wrong, because people don't eat enough vegetables or salad. Because that's fiber, it's going to fill you up. There's no calories, hardly any of it, no fat. So it's real safe food, but it will fill you up. And on the other half of your plate, if you cut that in half again, you've got two quarters. And one quarter should be your protein, like your meat, your chicken and things like that. And the other quarter could be your carbohydrates, like your potato, your rice, your pasta. Now, the old Annette didn't do that, but the new healthy Annette that's been this way all this time, that is her plate. And if you make it that way, and this is what these girls did when they were losing their weight, they owned that portion control situation. But what they were putting on their plate was fabulous food out of my books, and this is what really is the key, having that fabulous lasagnas and those creamy pasta sauces, but at a tenth of the fats.
Very good.
And who doesn't have a sweet tooth? Hello?
Oh,
I remember going to my dentist once asking him if he'd take it out. And he just thought I was a little bit crazy. But, you know, it's really important to be able to have a piece of chocolate cake. And if you want, and you're on the cover of my book, I've got a big smile on my face because I'm eating a baked cheesecake with blueberry sauce. Who wouldn't be happy at 4.4 grams of fat for a piece of cheesecake?
Very true. In fact, I want to share some of the recipes that you have in here because I just think people need to know. And the pictures are just absolutely incredible. And this is something where someone, you could have a cream brulee, which you describe it as a cream caramel. And there's ways of fixing that. And when you go out to eat, my goodness, that cream brulee is going to be easily 600 calories or more. Just that one custard dessert. And that doesn't include anything else that might be with the dinner. So here you have a cream, a caramel cream, and it's only 165.
I love it. Don't you love it?
Oh, yes, and a lemon meringue pie, and you've got a pumpkin pie here. That here we are in the holidays, and we're getting ready for all of this stuff, and we just go, oh, my goodness. I just know I'm going to have to put on all kinds of pounds because of it. But let's give out this baked cheesecake with blueberry sauce. Now, I found that this was quite interesting. You used 15 oatmeal cookies that are sugar-free. And that's for the base. And 1 tablespoon of no-fat milk and then some cooking spray. And then for the filling, you used 1 16-ounce tub of low-fat cottage cheese, which has 2% milk fat. You used 1 4-ounce low-fat Philadelphia cream cheese. You have 1 tablespoon of grated lemon rind, 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 3/4 cup of sugar, 2 egg whites, 1 whole egg, and 3 tablespoons of flour. And then you have the syrup, which is made with a 15-ounce can of blueberries in light syrup and 1 tablespoon of cornstarch. Okay, so there we have the ingredients in the base. You use your food processor, you crumble your cookies, add the milk, and blend it together, and then coat your spring-based pan, 8-inch one, with cooking spray, and press this mix onto the base of the pan using the palm of your hand, and you refrigerate it while you're making the filling. To make the filling, you use that same food processor bowl. Of course, you're going to want to clean it first. You put your cottage cheese. You blend it until it's really smooth. Then you add your cream cheese. Blend that thoroughly. Finally, chop the rind. Then add it to your processor with the lemon juice and extract. Blend it, the ingredients there thoroughly. Slowly add your sugar in until it's dissolved. And slowly is a key, because otherwise you'll have a granulated consistency there. Then you add your egg whites and egg and combine with a mixture, and then you add your flour, and once everything's mixed, you pour it over the cookie base, bake it for an hour, remove it from the oven, and then release the spring of the cake pan to loosen the cheesecake away from the edge. And you said it might help the filling stop any cracking process that it might as it cools. The syrup, it's real easy. You put the 15-ounce can of blueberries and light syrup, right along with the cornstarch. Blend that thoroughly. Bring it to a boil.
let it cool. It'll thicken up for you, and then you can pour that over the cheesecake when you serve it, and it's just going to be yummy.
Oh, it is so magnificent. Every time people eat it, they go, oh, my gosh, this is a cheesecake. You know, I think they expect, oh, it's low fat, so it'll be kind of a little bit like it, a pretend cheesecake. But it's got that thick texture that you want out of a cheesecake, and it's sweet and it's beautiful. 4.4 grams of fat, 185 calories. And this is what I love about my book as well, Donna, is that you have got the nutritional information for every recipe. And so you can look at the calories, the total fat, the saturated fat, the sodium, the carbs, sugar, fiber, protein, and as well as the glycemic index rating. And also, if you look, there's a little yellow box next to that which says dietitian's tip. It's like a post-it note. And this is written by Diabetes Australia, because all my books and all my recipes are endorsed by them. And so this is not a book just for swimmers. This is for anyone that wants to maybe reduce their cholesterol, control their diabetes, if they want to avoid heart disease, because this is a low saturated fat cookbook. And for the swimmers, a lot of mums and dads just cook out of it because they want to give their kids and themselves healthy food. So the tip that goes with that one, and I love it, it says, this one's a winner. Everyone will love this low fat cheesecake. Now, tell that to a diabetic and they're going to get excited.
No question about that. You have beef recipes in here. You have pork recipes. You have curry. Beefsteak pie. I mean, this is something, if anybody would be like me, you've got to be kidding. A beefsteak pie? That is so loaded with calories. You have the creamy sauce. You have the crust. But you had a whole different way of making it. You made the crust with a phyllo pastry.
And it works an absolute treat. Now, in Australia, our number one food here is pies. You know, meat pies especially. It's pretty Australian, if you want to call it, that we have these pies. And I wanted to share with you how fabulous a pie can be without that really fatty, you know, revolting pastry that often is around a pie. And what I love, I mean, look at the ingredients in that. It's so easy to not only make it, but, you know, to buy the stuff, because everything's in your supermarket. I made sure that when I wrote this book for you guys, that it was all in your language. It was always in your, you know, pounds and ounces, because we're in metric in Australia. And I think you and Burma are the only countries that are still in pounds and ounces, believe it or not. And I don't think you'll ever change, will you?
Not likely.
No, I think you like it the way it is. But, oh, my gosh, that beef pie is just awesome. If you love that type of thing, you're going to really enjoy it.
And it's good winter food. So many of us are in such cold, cold weather. And that beef pie, these are the ingredients. You need 1.5 pounds of lean braising beef steak. You want to dice it up. You need your cooking spray, 1 onion, 1 cup of onion cut into large chunks. You need 1.5 cups of water, 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon of granulated beef bouillon, low sodium, 3 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 7 sheets of phyllo pastry. And what you do, you brown your beef, and you drain the liquid, add your onions, stirring it together for 3 minutes. You add 1.25 cups of water, and you need 1/4 cup aside to blend with your flour later on. Then you add your Worcestershire sauce, your bouillon, bring it to a boil, reduce it to a simmer for 30 minutes with a lid on. Now you're going to stir it occasionally. Then you blend the flour with the remaining water, stir it into the pan, boil it for another 2 to 3 minutes in the sauce. The sauce is going to get nice and thick. Now you leave it alone once it's thick and to cool. Then you preheat your oven to 400 degrees and you have a 9-inch pie plate. Spray it with your cooking spray. Cut your phyllo sheets in half. Use 8 for the base, 6 for the top. You layer the pie dish with 8 cut sheets in a rotating fashion. You spray with a cooking spray in between. You want to keep those sheets sort of moist. Spoon your meat mixture on top of the pastry. Place the remaining phyllo sheets by layering over the top of filling in a rotating fashion. You spray with a cooking spray between the sheets. You crinkle the edges together. Spray with a cooking spray again. Bake it for 30 to 35 minutes. And it's done. It is done, and you have good flavor. With a salad, it's going to really satisfy that craving that you have in the winter for something hearty when you go out to face the cold. I really think that your book, Annette, is so well done. I like your tips. I like the stories about the people that you've helped. You even have the 28-day weight loss plan, which anybody could follow. You just take it one day at a time. And Annette, what is your website? So if someone decides to get your book, Simply Too Good to Be True, the American version, and it also is in the Aussie version if we have any listeners in Australia, what is your website that they can go to?
Well, for the American book, you go to www.simplytoogood.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's S-Y-M, because Annette Sim is my last name, so S-Y-M. So S-Y-M-P-L-Y-T-O-O-G-O-O-D.com. For anyone in Australia and New Zealand and in Europe that has, you know, that understands metric, you can go to the Australian website, which is www.simplytoogood.com.au. So that's the different one. But for America, definitely go to the .com one, because that way you'll get the book that you really can understand easily.
Well, I think it's fabulous. I wish you continued success, Annette. Anyone that has been able to trim down and keep their weight off for 17 years and then teach others how to do it as well, and they're smiling when they're doing it, they don't feel like they're in deprivation world. It is marvelous. Congratulations. I wish you continued success. Go to Annette's website, Simply, S-Y-M-P-L-Y-T-O-O-G-O-O-D, good, simplytoogood.com, and you will be able to get her information. It is wonderful, Annette. Continued success, and enjoy your day there in...
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Check it out. S-Y-M-P-L-Y, toogood.com. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like to call in and have a chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the telephone number, 888-815-9494. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just know that I'll give you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be on your mind. So 888-815-9756. Now, I want to thank those of you who have been sending me some stories. I've gotten some interesting things that people have shared with me. So as we get closer and closer to the holiday season, to the big holiday, Christmas, we are going to be sharing stories with you that different people have been sending to me. I even got something from someone that said, did you know, Donna, about Vicks Vapor Rub and what it can do for somebody? And I thought, no. And so some of the information was quite interesting, so I might share some of that with you. But again, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about children's books and the world of publishing. If you're a writer and maybe you say, oh, I'd love to do this, I'd love to do that. Well, we're going to be talking with Patricia Derrick, and one of her children's books is Riley the Rhinoceros. We'll talk about some others, but we'll also discuss how it is, what it takes to be able to do a children's book and to be successful with it. Also, we're going to be talking with a very special young man, Jason Dierling, and we're going to be talking about his publication, Return from a Comatose Mind. This young man went into a serious coma. The story is really an amazing one, and today he is a very productive person, and he's going to be sharing his awareness of what it is to be comatose and not to be able to let people know what you're going through. And then Ruth Milstein, we're going to be cooking again. Yes, well, isn't this the season for good food and good times? Well, Ruth Milstein will be sharing some of her insights with us. And then Love Your Body, Love Your Life. Sarah Moreno is going to be our guest, and this is something that I think is one of the best pieces of publication that's been put together, because our body often reflects our emotions, our feelings about ourselves, and many times can give us insights into what we need to do for ourselves. So anyway, good stuff from Sarah, and we've just got a wonderful lineup for the rest of this month. I'm sure you're all just buzzing around, busy, busy, busy. You've got parties to go to. You've got events that you're going to be attending, and you go, wow, I'll be so glad when the holidays are over. And I want to say, wait a minute, why don't you just take it easy and just sit back and relax the holidays a little bit? You know, I found myself getting all stressed out because I hadn't gotten certain things done. I'm one of these people, I like to have timetables. I'm supposed to have something done by 5 o'clock on such and such a day. Have you ever done that? Well, all of a sudden, I just had to say, forget it. I just had to make it okay that that timetable just wasn't going to work. You know, life happens at times. And I think it's so important for us to make it okay that timetables once in a while are not always, we're just not going to be able to make them. And sometimes we have to learn to lighten up when it comes to the holiday season, because we get into this, what I call mental treadmill, where I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other, and then the holidays are gone, and all of a sudden you wake up and you go, wait a minute, the holidays are gone. I really didn't have very much fun with people. I'll tell you why I'm discussing that. I was at a party. Of course, I know so many of you are going to be going to holiday parties just like we are. And this party was put on by some people, and I actually had some time to chat with some people. And it's amazing what you can learn. There are people that I hadn't met before. They are involved in different areas of work and environment. You can have good conversations. And the party was not so big. There weren't so many people there that you could not sit down, you know, and have a good chat. And it was wonderful. Everybody had such a good time. We enjoyed the food, but nobody was in a hurry. And there was one group that all of a sudden decided they were going to sing Christmas songs, and they were out singing, and they were just having a great time. And there was another group that was with some children, and it was wonderful. But I stood back and I just observed. What made everything so special is that there was this communication, this sharing, this camaraderie, that really when we have holidays or we have any kind of a festival event, if you will, a time when we're having a celebration, it could even be a birthday party, the host, the hostess, it needs to be okay for them to be able to participate and to join in. And I think that is what makes it worth all the effort. If you are like I have been so many times, you're so busy planning, preparing, cooking, cleaning, doing all of the things that you really don't have a chance to talk to anybody, try to set it up so you can. Try to set it up so you can really enjoy your holidays, because it will make all the difference in the world for you. Just know you can have a good time during the holiday season, and you don't have to kill yourself in the process. I wanted to share a few nonsensical things with you today. What would be an ideal snow day for you? Here in the Pacific Northwest, we got a little bit of snow. There was a storm that came up through the Portland area, and we were warned we were going to have a little bit of it. When we were out walking our terriers this morning, we really were enjoying the beauty of it because it was just so magical. And, of course, there's a bit of slush with it because it's not really that cold now. Our cold snap has pretty much passed us by. Hopefully it'll stay someplace else rather than staying here. But regardless, we were out, and I thought it's a wonderful way just to get out and to walk around. Now, maybe you don't have a dog, but why don't you walk around your neighborhood or, you know, find an area that you just love to drive through. Here in our local area, there are a couple of neighborhoods where they really do everything up super colossal with the lights. And it's a way of raising money for some of the food banks and doing different things. So if you have something like that in your area, take your time to do that, because it just slows you down. When you're walking, it gives you time to look and see what people have done. And there's sort of a warmth in the area when the houses are covered with lights and all of these wonderful decorations are out there. Well, what for you a snow day if you had to cozy down and found yourself inside? What is the favorite thing that you love to do? Well, apparently, yes, there's been a study. There's a psychologist, Kathleen Nickerson. She said there is really a patterning with people, what they enjoy most. Now, if you love to bake up like crazy, we know it's miserable weather outside, you just get in that mood for baking goodies. Well, if you are one of those kinds of people, and I have to plead guilty to that, you're a serenity seeker. Bakers often will tell Ms. Nickerson that it's wonderful for them. It releases a lot of tension and stress when they can get out the flour, sugar, and butter and make those special cookies. And she said, you know, it just means that you have to slow down because you have your stuff that you make, but it takes time to roll the cookies out and do all the special things that you want to do. So if you're a person that loves to bake on a cold, snowy day, then, or cold day, period, that is what you like. You like serenity. It gives you a chance to recharge your batteries so that you are more relaxed and ready to go. Now, if you're the type that said, hey, if the snow's coming down, I'm going to be out there, I'm going to go sledding, I'm going to go skating, then you are a person that's humble with a heart of gold. And you like being out in the cold weather because it allows you to really have fun. And so you would much rather show your interests rather than talk about what those interests might be. And sledding is a wonderful way, or skiing or any kind of snow activities, to be involved with the kids. You're a generous person. You really like to have a good time. If playing board games is your thing on a wintry, blustery day, well, you're a wit-matching people person. It's because you like to interact with others, and you like the challenge to strategize. It enables you to have good conversation, and you enjoy that. You really like to do exactly that, and you enjoy the challenge of trying to win the game. And if you like to read, of course, I'm known for that, you're a balanced brainiac. I like that word, a brainiac. Why? Because reading is akin to a workout for your brain, so apparently you are the type of person that loves to activate your intellectual machine, and reading activates the language part of your brain and the part of your brain that does the visualizing, so it really is a good thing to do. And by getting that creativity from your right brain and logic from your left, you are going to have a rich day. And if a movie is your thing, well, you're a creative problem solver. Watching movies is a very active pursuit, believe it or not. It compels you to imagine what you would do if you were that character in a similar situation. So not only are you good at that, but you empathize. And coupled with your active imagination, it makes you a born problem solver. Artistic yet analytical. If you like movies on a cold, cold, rainy, or snow-filled day, it means that you make your day more interesting. So, how many of those do you think you fit? Maybe you fit all of them. And isn't that exciting? There's so many parts to you that you perhaps don't even give yourself the time to recognize. Donna Sebo, give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. When we come back, I'll share some goodie information that some people have sent me. And don't forget, if you have a story or something special about the holidays you'd like to share with me, send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a Christmas story with you today, and this is from some that my friend Mary Ellen has sent, and I really enjoy them. I participated in the book, Christmas Filled with Miracles, and I just found that each of these stories have something very special, and just to get into the feel of the holiday season, I thought I would share them with you today. This is called A Christmas Present. These are all true stories that people have written. Yvonne Austin is the lady that wrote this story. She said, in 1968, I was married and unmarried and pregnant. The baby's father had said he would marry me, but then changed his mind and joined the Navy. Given the times, my family insisted I go to the home for unwed mothers and do the right thing. So away I went. In November, I had a very healthy baby girl. 5 days later, I held her for the first time as the social workers were preparing to take her away. My mother changed her mind after the baby was born and said I could bring the baby home. I told her it was too late. I had signed the papers and my baby was going to be taken away. I received a letter from the baby's father the next day saying he was getting out of the Navy and coming home to marry me. "Please keep the baby," he wrote. I was never told I could change my mind within a year's time. I thought I couldn't change my mind, And so I moved forward with my decision to give my baby up for adoption. I was so lost and in so much pain, but even then, I believed everything happens as it is supposed to, so I didn't challenge this life decision. The baby's father and I married in 1969 and had another beautiful baby girl, the absolute joy of my life. Her father and I separated when she was 8 months old, and I raised her on my own with help from my parents. In 1989, I married a wonderful man who has the same birthday as my second daughter. I always had questions about my first child and wanted to know she was all right, and I dreamed of the two girls meeting each other. One day, while I was working in the recorder's office, a young man came in to look up records on his biological parents. We started talking, and he told me I could look up my first daughter's birth certificate. I'd always thought the adoptive parents changed the birth date, but I was wrong. I looked under her date of birth and wrote down all the girls born that day. There were 12 of them. I pulled out the reel of film and started checking. Number 11 was a match. I was so shocked when I finally had what I'd always wanted that I just couldn't move. I made a copy of her birth certificate and went home to share the information with my daughter and husband. It turned out that my firstborn had been adopted by a very wonderful family in town and had been living just 5 miles away from me for most of her life. My second daughter wanted to go over right away, but instead I called the adoptive father at work and talked to him. I explained who I was and why I was calling, and I asked if we could set up a meeting. He was also excited and said he'd talk to his family that night and he'd call me back. He called me back at 9 p.m. and said, "Come on over." I was a mess. I was trying to find the right clothes, shoes, fix my hair. My daughter and husband were going through the same jitters. Well, we finally got there and received the warmest welcome you can imagine. The mom had had one daughter of her own, and after she was born, the doctors told her she couldn't have any more children, so they adopted my baby. They then got pregnant again and had another baby. My daughter is a beautiful, wonderful young woman who has had a great life. Our meeting took place on December 5, 1990. We all had a great Christmas. I thank my God and my angels every day for this wonderful Christmas miracle. Yvonne E. Austin. Stories of real life, how decisions we make can have effects that we might not realize, but the outcome sometimes can be quite surprising if we have the courage to explore. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-815-9756. Well, there is so much going on in today's world, and if you are buzzing around, I wanted to share this real cute story. And it's by Angela Gray. She said her family had a tradition with hot cocoa, chocolate. And she said she was in college and she was far away from home and she just thought, boy, I really miss that hot chocolate sharing that we had. She said when she was growing up, she never could figure out why at home there was such a big fuss about chocolate. She didn't like chocolate cake. Brownies were okay. And she said, in the family tradition of having a hot cup of cocoa, who cared? Well, eventually, she grew up and was enrolled in a college in a state that was far away from the home base. And she said she'd often have these moments of intense loneliness. It was unfamiliar all the way around. She really was under a lot of stress at college, and she just sometimes wanted to be by herself. She just didn't know what to do. Well, her roommate happened to bring all of her friends inside of the dorm room that they were sharing, and she was so disgusted when she walked into this room because she thought, I just wanted to have time by myself. And all of a sudden, it popped into her head the image of her family. And how a cup of hot cocoa was a tradition that they had when they would sit down on a cold winter's night. And talk and chat about the things that were going on. So she said she really, really was feeling pretty down. She left the room filled with people. She goes down, checks out her mailbox, and she said she found two letters from home. And that was exciting. One was from her mom, and another was from her sister. Now, something happened when she was beginning to roam back towards the dorm. She caught this scent in the air. She said it smelled awful familiar. And she followed the smell and found that there was a machine that made hot chocolate. So she said, I'm getting one. And she found a place, even though it was cold outside, she had her hot cocoa right there, opened up her letters from her family, and she said there was a peace that I was feeling that just could not even be measured. She said all the worries of my classroom were gone, and my frustration with my roommate and her thoughtlessness was totally forgotten, and she said I followed my family's tradition. She said when I was reading the letters, I could hear the laughter of my family. She said, though we were separated by many, many miles, my cup of hot chocolate enabled me to link with them while I was reading their letters. She said, I'd always heard of chocolate referred to as a comfort food. She said, it became that day my link to a place that meant even more than just comfort. My hot chocolate drinking tradition became my way to be at home. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. We'll be here same time, same place tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We are going to be talking, well, about rhinoceroses tomorrow. So I hope you can join us. Have a fabulous evening and be safe wherever you are. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.